Late word today, Governor Rick Snyder is expected to be called to testify about the Flint water crisis on Capitol Hill. According to the office of Southfield Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee is scheduling a hearing for Wednesday, February 3rd, to dig into the Flint water disaster and the government's response. This would be the first congressional inquiry into Flint. Lawrence is a member of that committee. Meantime, reporters and the public are combing through nearly 300 pages of emails released by the governor late yesterday, from emails from 2014 and 2015. Michigan Radio's Lindsay Smith's been covering the Flint water story for many, many months, certainly long before it became the international story it has become today. Lindsay, your blog post at MichiganRadio.org notes there were no obvious bombshells for you, but what were some of the highlights, if any, for you?
I think the highlights were definitely the Dennis Muchmore emails. Dennis Muchmore is Governor Snyder's former chief of staff. He just recently left the governor's staff, unrelated to the Flint water crisis, I might add. He kind of came up in an earlier batch of FOIA requests on the Department of Health and Human Services side. It came out in late December that Muchmore had sent an email to the director of the Department of Health that said, essentially, you know, can you guys dig around on this lead issue? I feel like we, the state, are kind of blowing off residents. So it was interesting to see some of the emails that Muchmore sent Rick Snyder, which didn't come until really September, it looks like, that we're really more on the lead issue. And it's just interesting, some of the things that he says about how, you know, different players at the time, Congressman Kildee and Mayor Walling at the time, just sort of how they felt it was being handled or being framed. And he wasn't sure why it was considered the state's fault at one point. He kind of points that out. Those are sort of the more interesting emails that I saw.
It kind of struck me, or tell me I'm wrong, as he writes, I can't figure out why the state's responsible except that then state treasurer Andy Dillon did make the ultimate decision, so we aren't able to avoid this subject. Does this sound at all like, let's point the finger at somebody who's left, is long gone, you know, at Andy Dillon? Was that trying to foist some of the blame on him?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's what's funny about that to me is I remember hearing Andy Dillon's name come up when I was asking questions about this in the fall. I remember the governor's spokesperson, previous spokesperson, and the former spokesperson for the Department of Environmental Quality sort of say, you know, look, this was Andy Dillon's call. And I was like, what? Andy Dillon? God, he hasn't been around in a while. And then when I look back at the timeline, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, Andy Dillon was the treasurer at the time. And the reason Andy Dillon had to sign off on this is because it was any city's school districts under an emergency manager, if they want to spend money over a certain amount, not only the emergency manager has to sign off, but the actual treasurer has to sign off. So that's why Dillon was sort of in the loop on this. But yeah, it is sort of interesting that, you know, Dillon,
Dane Walling, the former mayor, you're hearing those names mentioned a lot.
Yes. Yeah. But Dillon is, you know, he's a Democrat, really. And so it is kind of interesting that, you know, the Republican administration, certainly if you're a political person, you know, that's sort of brought up here in that context, I guess.
Lindsay, as someone who, as we said, has been reporting on this story for many, many months, does this release by Governor Snyder's office satisfy you in terms of transparency?
I would really like to see his emails from 2013. That's when the actual decision to switch to the Flint River was made. He released emails from 2014 and 2015, but the ones from 2013 weren't included, and I'm not sure why they weren't included or if they will eventually release those. Two, it's not clear to me on that. Those are the ones that I'd really like to see. If there was anything super bad in these emails, I can't imagine he would have just openly released them. So I would have been surprised if there really was a bombshell in here, is kind of how I looked at it.
So as we kind of try to digest this ever-growing Flint water story, Lindsay, what's at the top of your list of questions that you think still need to be answered?
In relation to the emails, there's one thing in particular that caught my eye that I've been trying to confirm, And that is whether or not the Department of Environmental Quality has terminated some staffers within that department, because there's an email at the very end, right around the time that the governor realizes that the department's director, Dan Wyant, is going to resign. They talk about Dan Wyant resigning, and then we know that the former spokesperson, Brad Werfel, resigned. But there's talk, too, about terminating some other employees within the DEQ. And as far as I know, no one at the DEQ, staffer-wise, has been terminated because of this. So I'm trying to figure out if that's something that happened or will happen, and we just don't know about it yet. But otherwise, the things that I'll be looking for in the future, I think the most pressing thing is, how will we know, what is the process for figuring out when Flint's water will be safe to drink again? Like all this bottled water stuff and the filters and getting this stuff to people. But like, if you live in Flint, when will we know and how will we know when our water is safe to drink? So that's one of the most, to me, one of the most more immediate things if I was living in Flint that I would care about.
Michigan Radio's Lindsay Smith, not the first and definitely not the last time we'll be talking with you about your reporting on the Flint water crisis. Thanks so much, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.